welcome to Sheehaw, the Women of Country, a podcast dedicated to providing women in the country music industry with space to talk about their journey and obstacles. Our goal is to raise awareness on the topic of gender equality in country music through discussion and community building. I'm your host, Cassandra, and today I'm joined by singer-songwriter Kelly Jean. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? We're so glad to have you.
I'm good. I'm so excited. You know how I love to talk, so I'm excited to be here and chatting with you.
Well, I can't wait to see where this discussion heads. So, Kelly, I'm hoping you can start out by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself and what it is you do.
Gosh, like, I don't even know where to begin. Should I start? Well, first off, I moved to Nashville a couple years ago from Pittsburgh. So that is kind of how I know Cassandra. We are from the same area. So I was going to the University of Pittsburgh, and I have my degree in chemistry with some minors in mechanical engineering, bioengineering, doing the whole science thing. But something was definitely missing in my life because I grew up singing with my mom. So my mom taught me how to sing. The rest of my family is totally tone deaf, which is kind of funny. Around Christmas time, we're all singing at the piano. It sounds like a bunch of dying cats. And I'm like, oh my gosh, please stop. But I was just singing since I was little. And when I was in Pittsburgh and I graduated and I was going to grad school, I felt like something was missing. So I started singing cover songs, writing some music up there. I met Chase, who's the guitarist in my band. And we kind of started doing music. And then we came down to Nashville. I ran into Leslie Fram from CMT. I was invited into CMT's artist mentorship program. So I was very lucky in that regard to kind of have that connection. And I've kind of like built upon it. And now I'm down here in Nashville doing it.
All right, Kelly. So what was it like making that move to Nashville and introducing yourself into the industry? Because from what we hear from the media, it's very intimidating.
Yeah, I was definitely a little scared, especially when I first came down here and I was just playing writer's rounds because everyone is so dang good. Like, everyone's amazing. Their writers are out of this world. But I think something that I really have learned, and I learned very quickly, is everyone here is so welcoming. I know it might be different in different cities like LA or New York, but here in Nashville, it's kind of like a tight-knit community. Everyone has been so welcoming. And there's so many opportunities for all of us to just sparkle and shine in our own way. So yeah, it's been kind of an amazing like process of realizing that it can be such a great thing for everyone. And I was nervous. And I still am at times because it's like, this is such a big dream, right? And sometimes you can't really wrap your mind around it and you feel like you're never doing enough. But it's been nice to kind of settle in and really just appreciate where I am in this journey at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And for our folks who are just meeting Kelly, she is an expert at networking and talking to folks. And I've always loved that. And she's been great with helping me with it. And I admire that because I'm a very extroverted person, but still sometimes when you see these folks, it's hard to make that introduction. And Kelly, I honestly don't know how you do it sometimes. It blows my mind.
I feel like I just love people and I love talking. So I don't even care. I'm just going to talk to everyone and talk to whoever I can. And if they'll listen to me, great. If not, well, okay, whatever. It's fine. I'll just move on talking to whoever is the next person. So I just love people and I just love talking. And I probably talk way too much, but I just can't help myself.
Well, I love hearing the stories that you're always sharing, Kelly. And like I said, you do a fantastic job at networking. And I don't know, maybe you should teach like a music industry networking class or something. I know I certainly would take it.
Oh, dang. You know, Professor Kelly has a nice little ring to it. I like it. That's a great plan. I could add that to my resume of things that I'm doing.
Absolutely. And in your case, things are a little interesting because you're an independent artist and you don't have a team at this point, but you are very busy. And I was hoping you could tell listeners a little bit about what it's like being an independent artist and kind of handling social media and bookings and all of those things.
Yeah, so that sometimes is hard. I think I've spoken on it, especially the last couple of days, to friends and other artists that like I just wish that I could just write music and play shows and not have to worry about the other things sometimes. And I hope one day that is the case to a certain point, because my social, like I've always said this to everyone, like my Instagram and social media is very authentic, like to me. Like I won't be posting things that aren't like actually what I'm doing. It's very real life, so sometimes there's some very embarrassing moments on there, but I just feel like that's a special way to get to know people and have people get to know you and like actually make real and authentic connections. So that part I love, like the social media, doing it myself, because it's actually me and it's authentic and people get to know me. And so that's always been like such a big deal for me, even in songwriting. Like I won't write things that aren't authentic to who I am as a person. Like I'm not gonna write about being on a farm, because I wish I was on a farm because I love cows, but I can't write a song about it because I've never experienced it. And like I feel like people can see through that very, very super quickly. And like you don't want to listen to someone who you don't really believe and trust in. So that part of the managing the whole thing by myself is great, because it is actually me. This is who I am. But sometimes it's hard, like with the bookings and like content is king, right? Like you always have to be pumping out as much as you possibly can. And sometimes it's like, I just got done with a show and now I have to worry about posting like videos, pictures, all of these things. Now I also have to write this song, right? Oh, and then I have to be in the studio. So it's like, it's hard to like juggle all of these things. And I think it's taken me a little bit of time to really take a step back and figure out what was the most important thing to me. And it's really being true to myself. And so I might not be pushing out as much content, because like that's just not who I am. Like I'm not doing those things in those moments, and I'm focusing on writing, or I'm focusing on being in the studio, or I'm traveling. And honestly, I think one of the best parts of this journey is getting to travel. And so I try to book myself as much as I possibly can, anywhere that wants me. So if you want me, tell me, I'll be there.
What advice do you have on, doing bookings? Because I know myself, I've tried to do them for some artists and I'm horrible at it. I can never be a booking agent because my clients would never get a gig. And I've talked to others and they've had the same struggle. So I need to know the secret.
Yes, do not be down on yourself. Booking is rough, especially for independent artists. You have to kind of like, there's venues, and especially paying venues, they want to know that you can bring a crowd. They want to know that you are worth it, right? To be paying you, because right now, especially after COVID, and even when it was during COVID, money was tight for like especially these smaller venues. So booking is rough. Booking is hard. I think the best advice that I've ever been given, and it's kind of around the first time that I moved to Nashville. What, I forget his name. I will remember his name the moment that this podcast is over. But he told me that when you're reaching out to places, sometimes they want to know that you're very serious about playing there. So they want a follow-up email. And that's always been something that I've been really good about, is reminding myself that like you have to send a great email introducing yourself, having venues that you played at, show clips so they know what they're booking. But you also have to follow up. So like most places won't get back to you until you follow up with them. Like places are busy, people are busy. You have to like stand out a little bit. So usually if I don't hear from someone within like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'm like, hey, like I know you're very busy, but I just wanted to follow up on this because I would love the opportunity to play for you all. And usually then I either get a yes or a no. And I think you just have to be able to roll with the no's. And I know sometimes that's so hard, because you're like, why wouldn't you want me to play for you? Like, who do you think you are? But you sometimes you got to roll with it, and you can't, you're going to get so many no's, and it's such a roller coaster. There's so many downs, but like that just makes the ups and the positives that much more special. So yeah, I think rolling with it and just always keeping on it is the best advice, and like following up with people so they know that you're serious, that you want to play there.
That's a great way to look at things, and it's kind of good to know that follow-ups are kind of a industry standard at this point, because I know I've sent some myself and I feel so pushy when I do that, but it's comforting to know that that's actually kind of what they expect and what they want to see.
Yeah, no, you can't. I'm the same exact way. Like, I hate to bother people. Like, I always am. Like, I feel like sometimes it's to a fault. Like, I'm very much a people pleaser. Like, I love, like, my goal in life is to make people feel sparkly and special, because that's, I honestly believe that they are. So I want every interaction that I have, like, I want people to feel better, because that's just how I want everyone to feel and to be, because they are special, sparkly. But I hate being a bother to people. So yes, that was so hard for me at first as well, to like be like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to bother them. They're probably so busy. But there's that saying, the squeaky wheel or something gets the oil. I don't know. Is that what it, I'm not
Yeah,
sure.
I think it's something along the lines of, yeah, the squeaky wheel's the one that gets oiled first or something. Yeah.
Yes. So sometimes you got to be a little squeaky.
Now, Kelly, I want to talk a little bit about your songwriting, because you mentioned earlier writing, and it's something I know you do a lot. Right now, you only have one song out, and it's This Crazy, which I personally love. I've had it on repeat since Kelly sent it to me a couple of years ago, and she, I think, gets annoyed at her shows because I pester her till she plays it.
No,
But
I love it. No, I appreciate it. I love when people request original songs. That is so special. Yes, I only have one song on Spotify out right now. And the reason for that is I will be releasing two songs this year. So excited to release them. But you can't just release a song nowadays. Like, as an independent artist, you have to have a plan, a marketing scheme behind the whole thing. So I'm really making sure that I have that plan in place, because I honestly believe in these two songs I'm going to release. And it's so funny. I wrote one of them with my friend, and she plays drums in my band from time to time. Her name is Cheryl Hill, and she is from Alabama. So she is a tough chick who has taught me a lot, and I love her to death. We wrote this song called Get Out. It's one of my favorite songs to play. It's so fun, and we're just eating pizza, drinking wine, just talking. And this song just kind of came out, and from this like funny, special place. And I really believe in it. So I want to make sure that the whole marketing plan behind it, like, is ready for it. So I want to make sure that people will hear the song. So, because I love it so much. I want everyone to listen to it.
Yes, I can agree. I've heard it numerous times and it's so much fun. I love it so much. And you mentioned where this comes from and, writing with your friends. And I'm hoping you could talk a little bit about where you find inspiration for your songs at, because I know some of the stories behind them and they're always great. And I don't know, Kelly, if you maybe want to even give This Crazy as an example, because I always love that story.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. So This Crazy was actually about a time when I was out in Pittsburgh. So I was out at the bars one evening, and I'm not a bar fighting type of girl. I always say this. That's not who I am. Like I said, I love people, so I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. But this particular night, this woman was going crazy on me, just like, not just me, my friends, like yelling, blah 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 blah, like crazy. And I was like, what is going on? So we kind of just left. Like I said, I can't fight anyone. But if you see me in the streets, don't try to fight me. I can't. Like, I'm just throwing that out there. But so we went, we left, my friends and I left. And of course, like any normal person, I call my mom, and she is like, I tell her this whole story, and she's like, girl, you got to remember, like, there's a reason why she's crazy. She didn't drive herself that way. Like, something must have happened, and maybe you're crazy. I don't know. So I was like, that is a great idea for a song. Like, so I wrote that song about things that could kind of drive someone maybe a little bit crazy, and about that night. And it's funny because it has such a special place in my heart, because it happened like a true story, and it's in Pittsburgh. So it's nice, it's fun. And that's kind of where every song has really come from for me. Get out. Like I said, I wrote with Cheryl. We were just eating pizza, drinking some wine, and we wrote that song. And then this other song that I'm hoping to release, Country If I Want to Be, is I wrote that with Noah Henson, and actually he is the band leader for Brantley Gilbert. He plays in his band, and it's so cool. It was the first time that I ever wrote with him. It definitely happened by accident. I don't know how I get myself into these things. But when I found out I was writing with him, I was so nervous because, like I said, I've been writing with my friends, these people that I know, these people that, like, they'll be friends with me afterwards, even if I say something stupid in this writing session. So I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so intense. So the whole night I stayed up and I was writing hook after hook, because when you go into a writing room, you want to go in there prepared. Because if you're not prepared, people don't want to write with you again. Like, you're not taking it seriously. So I wrote hook after hook, every idea that popped into my mind. And I was like, okay, I'm ready, but not really. I'm still so nervous. So I drive down, and he like lives a little like out in the cut a little bit. So we're driving out. I'm driving that way, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm so nervous. And all of a sudden, I see this like tractor, like this John Deere. And I was like thinking about it, like, oh, I don't know much about John Deere, but I can shotgun the, I don't know if I can say the word, the hell out of a cold beer. You might have to bleep me, but I was like, oh, that is so, like, that's true. Like, I can shotgun some beer. So, but I don't know anything about tractors. So I was like, ooh, this is a cool idea for a song. I'm gonna put it in my back pocket. I'm gonna maybe write this one with Chase or someone else. And so I get there to his house. Everyone is different. Like, we go up into the studio, and sometimes you start with like the music, or sometimes you start with the lyrics. It depends on who you're writing with, how they write. I'm a more of a lyric person, so I usually start with the story and the lyrics. He is a musician and a guitarist to his core, so he just picks up his guitar immediately and he's writing something. Like, he starts playing something chuggy, and he's just talking to me while he's playing, and he's like, "Well, tell me what you're thinking about." And of course, I'm like, I have all of these ideas, and I pull my paper and I'm like, bah, 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 and he's like, whoa, slow down there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, I probably seem crazy. My bad. And he's just playing this chuggy riff. And I'm like, okay, I don't know much about a John Deere, but I can shotgun the hell of a cool beer, sweet tea drinking, collard green eating, and boots down, bottoms up, tip the bottle, not the cup. And it kind of just kept rolling. And so we wrote the song, and it's called Country If I Want to Be. And it's, I love it. So we got, and he loved it, and he's like, let's write this song. And we wrote it that day, and it was it's one of my favorites too. I don't play that one out acoustically a lot, just because it's kind of that chuggy feel, but when I do, I have a lot of fun with it. So I love that song, and it just kind of came out of this place where I saw a tractor. I have a whole notepad in my phone just with ideas, that things that I see, things that I hear. Like, people, like, if you're around me, be careful, I might write a song. Like, just like, I be careful what you say. But yeah, so that's kind of where it comes from, just writing what I'm thinking, feeling. And sometimes it's not good, but you got to write those not good songs. And most of the time I try to write those ones by myself, so people aren't judging me, right? Like, I don't want to go into a writing room with not good songs. I'm like, you just have to, like, you're just writing, and you evolve as a writer. Like, what I wrote when I first got down to Nashville, and don't get me wrong, I love this crazy. That was one of the first songs that I wrote when I got down here. And I, but it's so different than what I'm writing right now. And I feel like I feel like everyone does this. Like, over time, you evolve as a songwriter, you're evolving as a person. So, people are like, oh, it might sound different. Like, for example, when people were talking about Taylor Swift and how her sound is different, love it or hate it, she's changed as a person. Like, she's changed, she's grown, like, she's writing what she's feeling. And that, I mean, her newer stuff might not be my favorite stuff, but that's who she is right now as a person. So you can't really knock it. I might not listen to it as much, but I can't knock it. I mean, I'm a Swiftie for life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. Everyone changes in your writing, whether that's songwriting or just creative writing or even journaling, I know changes as you do. And even though I'm not a professional by any means, I think I've probably only finished a handful of actual songs that I've done. I recently looked back in my songbook from whenever I was 13, 14, early teens, middle school years. And I was like, I don't know who she was, but I'm glad I don't know her anymore because she really had a lot of growing up to do. And the things I write down and Jot now, they're completely different, but that's evolving as a person and growing. So it makes complete sense.
Yeah, no, I love that for you, because if you don't grow, then what is life, right? Like all these experiences and everything, like that's awesome. Yeah, no, I don't want to go back and look at those pages from when I was in middle school or high school or even a few years ago. Who
I
is
think
she?
I would honestly be more worried, Kelly, if you were still writing the same way than before you moved to Nashville, because again, if you're not changing, you're not growing. So that's 100% a good thing. And I wanted to say, you're talking about your process and your inspiration. And the thing that has always struck me uniquely about your process is, of course, everyone writes about what they see, but for me, and it might just be because I know you personally, Kelly, but I see the thought that goes into not only what you're experiencing, but what other people are experiencing. And the perfect example is this crazy, you and your mom were talking about what drove her to this point. And there's that inclusion of other people in your stories. And to me, that's always been really interesting.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, everyone, I didn't pay her to say these things. She's just saying these nice things on her own. Can you just come down to Nashville and be with me all the time, Cassandra, please?
Trust me, once I was there for a while, you'd be like, okay, this is enough ideas, this is enough. Go sit in your room.
No, for sure not. We probably get into trouble. Listen, I don't want to have to tell grandma that we're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think Nashville can handle both of us at once, but I don't know. We'll see. So, Kelly, moving on a little bit, you have done some work. You already mentioned CMT, and I also want to talk a little bit about your work with Women Who Rock. So, whichever avenue you want to start with, and then we'll fork off into the other one.
Okay. I don't even I think for CMT I can start there, because I think that one happened first. So before I even moved down to Nashville, like I said, I was just doing music for fun. I was playing out as much as I could. Now it's like I was playing out what, like once every few months. Now it's like that's nothing, but definitely a growing process. And seeing the performances then, I was like, oh God, like, I need to wipe all of this from my memory. But we came down here, and like I said before, I just love talking to people. And I went to an event, and Leslie Fram was there, and she's the vice president of marketing for CMT. And she is also one of the co-founders of Change the Conversation, which is a huge organization down here in Nashville. And it's becoming bigger because previously, and I still now, actually still now, I don't want to say previously, still now, it is sometimes a struggle for women, like female country artists, as well as minority artists, to get airtime, to get that face time, and to be put out there, in their music put out there, which is a bummer, right? I don't know why it happens. There's excuses for it. Like, girls don't like to listen to other girls singing. I think that was that was an executive label talking about how they can't, what the reason why they don't play two female artists in a row on the radio station, which honestly, I have to say, Pittsburgh, I have to especially throw out Froggy Radio and Danger Frog, and all that he has done for local artists, but also female artists. They're not scared to play female artists back to back to back on that radio station. I hear it all the time. So I really have to give a kudos to them, because I had never even heard of that before I came down here to Nashville, because of how the Pittsburgh radio station is up there, like how amazing they have been. So, and I love Danger Frog. I'm just shout out Danger. And I know his real name. I don't know why I call him Danger Frog, but he will always be Danger Frog to me. So, when I met Leslie, we were just talking. She listens to my music, and she's just such a huge advocate for independent artists, female artists, and she asked me to be a part of this artist mentorship program, and this is like pre-COVID. So we were meeting like once a month, getting to talk to different like executives in the industry, like meeting with artists. Like I got to meet with Sarah Evans, and Can I just tell you, one of the nicest, most genuine people that I've ever met. Like, she's a great person. Like, she's amazing. I'm a huge fan, especially like even after, I was a huge fan before, an even bigger fan now, knowing that she is such just so true to herself and such a nice person. That I will listen to everything that she puts out there. But so yeah, getting being able to get involved in that was kind of lucky, just like because I was just talking to people and like getting to meet people. I learned so much from that. And then the Change of Conversation organization, they have this CMT Next Woman of Country that they help put on. And it's amazing. I've been able to go to these events, see these female artists who are doing amazing things. Like this year we were at the City Winery. And getting to see artists like Megan Maroney, Ashley Cook, Avery Anna, like which by the way, if you haven't heard her song "Narcissist," that song. I'm like, I feel like she's probably 10 years younger than me, and that song is like, I love this song so much, it hits me in the feels. So it's amazing seeing these artists who are female artists who are out there doing the dang thing and being like, I want to do this too. It only pushes me harder to see them succeeding. And I'm like, this is what I want. Like, this is amazing. And so, yeah, just being involved with that has been really awesome. And I feel like I'm very lucky to have this opportunity.
It's amazing all of the things that women in the industry are doing right now to help promote other women in the industry. And I mean, it certainly inspired me. I mean, if not, Sheehaw wouldn't exist and I wouldn't be going down this journey. And I will say, I've been talking to Leslie Fram. Trust me, listeners, we are trying to get her on the show because I think it would be an amazing conversation. But it's so incredible to hear firsthand from someone who's actually been involved in these programs because prior to you, Kelly, all I had done was the research and learned about them, but there was never an account for how much they were actually working. So it's great to hear that firsthand that it is working and they are having an impact. And I'm sure those women would be so happy to hear that and know that. And I'm sure you tell them if you get the chance, or at least I hope you do.
Yes, no, I mean, I tell Lizzie every single time I see her, I'm like, thank you. And I love you because she honestly is the sweetest person, too. Like, everyone, and that's the thing, like, everyone down here, and on, I don't know if I've just been meeting the right people and I haven't met the Grumpsters yet, but so far, everyone has been just so nice, kind, and welcoming. And it's been so awesome. Like, it just felt really good. Like, this is the place that I'm supposed to be.
Has that interaction been the same with not only the industry professionals, but also the other writers and artists as well?
Yeah, it has. Like I said, Nashville's kind of like it feels like a tight-knit little community, even though it's so big. Like it's actually, it is pretty tight-knit. And I was writers' rounds down here in Nashville are such a big thing. And I love to go to them to also meet other songwriters to write with. I think I remember when I was down here before I even moved. So this was a few years ago. Had the opportunity to meet Jimmy Allen. And one of the things that he said is because before he hit it big with his song, which I love that song, love all of his songs, he was working like three jobs, working overnight, like putting shopping carts back at Walmart or something. That was one of his jobs. And he was just like writing and doing the best that he could, but he was going to rounds, writers' rounds, and he was just asking everybody to write with him. And he was like, what's the worst? Like, they say no. And honestly, that's how you have to be. Like, and that's one of the reasons why my songwriting has evolved is because the people that I've been writing with, like, they're so good. They're so good. And like, you have to keep up. Like, you can't, like, or you'll fall behind. And it's, I just ask everybody to write with me. Everyone. Like, if you want to write, if you want to play music together, let's do it. And that's kind of how this town is. And yeah, it's been pretty welcoming. And I think it's honestly, and I'm not sure, like, who said this, it's not about what Nashville can do for you is about what you can do for Nashville. And if you don't have that mindset, and like if you don't have the mindset of being like helpful and nice, and actually if you're not a kind person, you'll get weeded out because that's just not really how it is, especially down here.
It's funny you say that because we've heard that from, I think, all three guests in our three previous episodes, Kelly. Everyone kind of says the same thing. And There is the notion that, there's some bad people in the industry, which, you're going to have that anywhere. And unfortunately, it does sound like a lot of it's the folks who have been at it for a while and kind of are in a more traditional mindset. And I know some of the rebel rousers that have caused all of this women in country debate, they are, the executives who have been at it a while. And it's sad to see, but at the same time, it's nice to know that all the generations below them are stepping up and changing things. And also that there are professionals out there who have been doing this for 20, 30, 40, 50 years who are still very dedicated to making country music what it should be.
Yeah, it's nice to see such a big change. And I especially Music Row magazine usually talks about the promotions and things or publishing deals and things that are happening in the industry. And someone who I follow on Instagram, Jo Jamie, and she's really worked her way up within the label that she works for. And it's if you don't follow her, you definitely should. She's amazing. She's not scared to be her authentic self and be like, this is who I am. And if you're not about it, then okay. Like, and she's just so kind. She's awesome. So I love following her and seeing her journey and just rooting for her too. And you see these promotions, you see things happening, not just on the artist side, but the executive side. So that's why those changes are happening because there's changes happening on that label side as well. So, and publishing side, I was at a Change the Conversation event and it was about female producers. And it's amazing, like seeing how, because there's not a lot of them, like sound engineers, producers, like even on that different side of the industry. And getting to talk to them was really, and I'm meeting coffee with one of the like producers, and she's just so nice. And like getting that information and talking and learning and being able to sit in each other's stories and know that we're not alone in this is has been so nice.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I know even just myself as a young professional, very, very much so, only starting to dip her toes in the water. It's been so empowering talking to not only the guests that we've already had here on Sheehaw, but also the other folks that I've connected with. And some of them, it's only been through online, websites like LinkedIn, but everyone's been so wonderful about sharing their stories and an open book, honestly, which I think has something to do with being musicians and being music lovers. But just hearing everybody's story, it is nice to know that you're not alone in anything you go through.
Been pretty amazing, like just chatting with everyone, and like I said, fellow female artists, like sitting with it, because I think there's this mindset too, and I always struggle with it that I'm never doing enough, and I feel like knowing that there's other people who feel that way too kind of makes it where I can kind of breathe and be like, it's okay, other people are like this too, it's all good, you'll be fine. Or I might just be telling that to myself and it's not gonna be fine, but it's okay.
Well, you are definitely doing enough, Kelly. And sometimes I worry that you're doing too much and you need a vacation.
Maybe not. I drink energy drinks like no tomorrow. Actually, you probably should cut this from the podcast, but I am an energy drink lover. I will drink energy drinks all day long, like they're water, and that might be the reason why.
I mentioned earlier Women Who Rock, which is an organization based here in Pittsburgh. And Kelly, I know you're one of their artists. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about their mission and how you got involved and kind of what it means to you.
I will start with how I got involved, which is kind of a little bit backwards, but when I was at Pitt, going back a little bit, when I went to University of Pittsburgh, I was doing a lot of research there as a chemist and then as an engineer. And then when I was going to grad school, and then when I was working, I started working for the University of Pittsburgh, and I did research at McGee Women's Hospital. And we were looking at, I was doing a lot of breast cancer research. And part of Women's Who's Rock's mission is they raise money for the breast cancer of research and treatment that happens at McGee Women's Hospital. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is putting two things that I have done, breast cancer research, and then what I'm doing now as an artist, this is putting them together. And what an amazing, crazy opportunity to be able to use my voice and to use this gift that I feel like I've been given to give back to other people. And that is kind of how I reached out to the Women Who Rock organization in Pittsburgh, how I reached out to Melinda, who the founder, and I mean, she is an amazing artist. And everything that she does is so cool. And her starting this and giving a platform to female artists and helping the next generation of artists and producers and women in music, but also giving all this money back to help with female research initiatives is something that's super cool. And like when I got involved in that, that was like so amazing. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're putting these two things together. And I'm so excited to be giving back. And it's just amazing to be able to educate and support and fund these like women-centric health issues, because sometimes it's, I feel like we as women, I don't know, I can speak for myself. Sometimes I put myself last, and I know that my mom did that, so maybe I got that from my mom. But sometimes I forget about actually taking care of myself. And I feel like a lot of females sometimes do this. So when the Women Who Rock put on their benefit concerts, which is, by the way, 100% female fronted, the headliners, female fronted artists, like how cool is that? Like it's 100% female fronted, and then they're giving 100, like all of their money to back into women's health funding. And it's really cool, especially in Pittsburgh, because McGee Women's Hospital is such an amazing research hospital as well, and such an amazing hospital. I tell everybody to go there, especially friends who are having babies in Pittsburgh right now. I'm like, you need to go to McGee Women's Hospital. Not only are they really good, they have great food in the cafeteria.
But yeah, Kelly, I would agree. It's I know myself. I usually put my health last, because we're always so busy doing things, and I'm no exception. And honestly, I do think that is kind of a female thing, where we often end up in this mindset that it should be everyone first. But if you're putting yourself last, you can't put anybody first ever if you don't take care of yourself. And yeah, Women Who Rock, I really enjoy their mission, and I appreciate it because Kelly actually introduced me to the organization. But it's fabulous work what they're doing, and I also really appreciate it because they're a very organized organization. They really know what they're doing, and their events are always fantastic. And they even have a line of merchandise, and they use some of the proceeds that they donate, and they also use it to help keep running. And everyone's always so friendly. There's always so much going on. They pick great music. It's all around just a great time. So not only are they doing great things, but they're just so well-rounded that you can't help but admire them.
Yes, I agree. And it's because they care. Like, do you, this is like a mission that you can tell that is so close to their heart. They care so much about it, like supporting women, women's health, women's music, all of it. So it's honestly an amazing organization that I feel very lucky to have the opportunity to be a part of. And it gives me a reason to buy all their merch. I love it. I'm a shopper to my core, and knowing that that money goes towards female health research is it makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I can completely sympathize. And yeah, I highly recommend anyone, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, definitely go check it out. And it's always a good time. And I know even there was an event that Kelly and I were at one time, and I walked in and seen an artist who I had been working with at a record label for my master's program. And things really come full circle there. You meet some awesome people, but also see some familiar faces. So if you're in Pittsburgh, definitely go check them out. And if you're not in Pittsburgh, you can still follow their social media because they have some great managers there that are doing great content work. So you can always check them out. And I know the artists are all over the country as well. So you can find folks like Kelly in other cities.
Yeah, I know the Hobbs sisters are from Pittsburgh, and they're down in Nashville now, and they're a part of it. Yeah, I think they had Jordan Sparks at their last benefit concert, and I mean, what a powerhouse. And so how cool is it to see like these other artists, like bigger artists, wanting to be a part of this? Like that's how you know when something is special and is really making a difference. Like you see all of these people really kind of migrate towards it and want to help. So yes, they're doing amazing things, 100% amazing things.
I would totally agree. Well, Kelly, it looks like we are about at the end of our episode, but I do have one final question for you. And this has become kind of a signature. I've been asking the songwriters this and our other female guests, we've been changing it up a little bit. But since you're a songwriter, I'll ask it in the same frame. If you were to write a female empowerment song today, what would you say?
Oh my gosh, you're really putting me on the spot. To go for it. Like, you know, what's so, I think I said that a million times. What's the worst that can happen? Like, to not be scared, to not worry about the rules, to just break them and chart your own path. And there are so many different stories that can be told in so many ways, but you have your own unique story to tell. And that would kind of be my, what I would want to say in this song is to just, to go for it, tell your story, be yourself, and just don't be scared. And what's the worst that can happen? You live out your dream? Heck yeah.
You heard it, folks. What is the worst that can happen? So go out and live your dream. Thank you again, Kelly, for joining us here today on She Ha.
Yay, thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. And of course, listeners, be sure to go check out Kelly's social media. Kelly, do you want to plug your socials?
Sure, at Miss Kelly Jean. And I always tell my mom, I'm like, dang, mom, you put so many letters in my name, but it's Kelly and then Jeanne. So at Miss Kelly Jean is my Instagram, and Kelly Jean Music is my Facebook. And you know, I should know my TikTok, but I go on there to watch videos more than I post videos. But there is a TikTok, and I will be posting videos.
We'll work on it, Kelly. We'll get you running.
Thank you.
And while you're at it, listeners, you can, of course, find She Ha as well. We are at She Ha Country. And thank you all for tuning in. And of course, stay on the lookout for new episodes coming at you soon. And remember, it's She Ha because women make the world turn.
Live, I don't hush. Ask my horse, I'm speaking my mind.